Blog Talk Radio.
That's when I another week, on the third week, man, I just give God all the glory and all the praise. This is Brother Eric, and this is the Choose to Joy broadcast. And today we got a few things. One, we have a sponsor. And so this show today is brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. That's GloryGiftStore.com. We can find everything Christian, from Christian DVDs and books, Bibles in every translation, jewelry, T-shirts, and even homeschooling products for every grade. So if you're a parent out there and you need some homeschooling products, go to GloryGiftStore.com. And if you're an administrator at a church, you can find everything from communion products and offering products. They even got clergy robes. This place has everything. So stop by GloryGiftStore.com today. That's GloryGiftStore.com. Today we have a special guest. Let me see if I can punch you on. Hold on just a second. We have Misty Sanders. Are you there, Misty?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And we was at church yesterday, and Misty, you had the opportunity to stand up and give your testimony, and I was just like, you know, it's like the Lord just dropped it in my heart, have her on your show. So I asked you, and you know it's the Lord when it happens, you know. That's how I know it's
yes.
God. And so let's just hop right on in it, Misty. I'd like to go ahead and get started. I remember we talked briefly today, and I guess it was a Wednesday night or a Wednesday morning, and you woke up and you had like a crick in your neck, right? Is that what happened?
Yes. I had woke up on a Wednesday morning, and I had like this pain in my neck that was similar to a crick, you know, like when you sleep on your neck wrong. And the pain continued throughout the day on Wednesday. And it also, when I woke up the next morning on Thursday morning, it was still there. And so I said during the day, I said, you know, if this pain doesn't leave by the time I go to church on Thursday night, that I'm going to go up to pastor, and when he calls for people to be prayed for, and, you know, get him to pray for me. And so when I did, I went to church that Thursday night. I woke up that Thursday morning, pain was still there. I ended up going to church that night, and the pain left me 20 minutes before our pastor called for people to be prayed for. And that's happened to me before, so it wasn't uncommon. I would go in with a minor ache or pain, and, you know, the pain would just leave sometime during the service. So that wasn't uncommon. I didn't think anything about it. But I also had symptoms that I didn't notice that were there of Bell's palsy. And because they were real subtle. So I didn't get prayed for, and I left church, and it takes me about 40 minutes to get home. But we had had a trip planned the next day to go to an amusement and a water park. And the Lord had put it on our heart to take another lady's little girl from us that goes to church with us. And our kids didn't know about it, so we didn't want them to know so they wouldn't get home, spend the night together, and, you know, not be able to enjoy the park for being wore out from excitement from the night before. So when I left church, but from the time I left church until the time I got to this lady's house, my face had went completely paralyzed on the right side. My eye wasn't blinking. My mouth wasn't moving. No muscles or nerves were working in the right side of my face.
And so you're in the car when this happened. You're in the car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the car.
Did you feel your face? How did you know it? Did you know it was paralyzed, or did you just feel like something funny was going on?
I just felt like it was something funny was going on. There was a lady at church that had asked me if I had dental work done, because, you know, like whenever you, that night she'd asked me, and I said no. And I had asked my husband that morning, or that night before I left for church, I said, is my eye, like, is there something wrong with it? Because it didn't feel like it was blinking on time with the other one. It felt like it was slower blinking, but it wasn't enough to, you know, be alarmed about. And he said, he looked at it, he watched me blink it a few times, and he said, no, nothing's wrong, you know. I said, okay. So I said, okay, it must just be me, you know. And so, and I didn't know how noticeable it was, because it was dark when I was driving home. It was after 9 o'clock, you know. I didn't want to turn, you know. I mean, I looked in the mirror, but I didn't think it looked that bad to me. You know, I didn't think anything was, like, severely wrong. But by the time, from the last time I looked at myself to the time I got to this lady's house to pick up her daughter, it was really noticeable, obviously, because when I walked in her house, she said, what is wrong with you? And I said, what are you talking about? You know, because I didn't know how noticeable it was. I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what it looked like. And she said, I'm not even going to tell you what that looks like. She said, you need to call Pastor. And I said, well, I was going to call him in the morning. And she said, no, you need to call him now. And so I thought, yes,
so she must have thought it was bad enough. She thought it was bad enough where you needed to call Pastor right now. You need to talk to your pastor right that minute.
Yeah, and she knew it looked like Bell's palsy. She had seen people with Bell's palsy before, but she wasn't about to tell me it looked like that. And
Did you look at it after she told you that? Did you get a chance to look at it again?
No, I actually didn't look at it until I came home after I got off the phone with Pastor.
And
so I called Pastor and I told him, I said, you know, I told him the story about me being in pain for 2 days and it left 20 minutes before, and he prayed for me and all my pain left. And like I said, at the time my face wasn't working and my tongue had started tingling and my neck had pain in it. It had that crick pain in it. And the tingling left my tongue and the pain left my neck. But my face was still not working. It didn't work from the time I left church up until, you know, when the Lord healed me. And or the symptoms, he healed the symptoms. I actually got healed that Sunday. I don't claim anything different. Because the Lord had told me not to. You know, he told me not to the day that I went to church and Pastor prayed for me. He told me not to claim that anymore. So I'll back up just a little bit. He told me what to do if the pain come back. He told me to tell it no in Jesus' name. You can't come back in my body. And so he told me, he said, if you need me, you call me. And I said, okay. And I hung up the phone because she had actually gave me a number to get a hold of him, this lady had, because he was coming home from church just like we were. So he went out his regular number that I'd try to call him at, you know. And she gave me a number to get a hold of him. I called him. He was still on his way home. And, you know, he prayed for me. Pain left. And I came back home that night. And I laid down. And my, you know, I didn't have any pain, but my face still wasn't working. And I woke up like 4 hours after Pastor had prayed for me. And I said, you know, I started saying what he told me to say. And I quoted it for like 45 minutes. And the pain left for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then it come back again for another 45 minutes. I mean, I was sitting there just quoting, with tears just rolling down my face because I was in such bad pain. And it left for another 2 or 3 minutes, and I think I went through another cycle of that 45 minutes. And I finally got off to sleep again. And about 2 hours later, I woke up with the pain even worse. And at this time, the kids still didn't know we were going, so we had the option to opt out of going because they didn't know. And he said, are you going to be all right to go? And I honestly thought that the devil was just trying to mess up our day because we had scheduled this one-day vacation, you know, to go to this amusement park, the only vacation we got that year. And I said, I'm not letting him ruin my day. You know, I just what was in my mind. I just thought he was trying to ruin our day that we had planned. And I said, yeah, we're going. Still in severe pain, you know, nothing had changed. And the whole day, I just kept quoting what Pastor told me to say. You know, to the pain, you can't stay in my body, you have to go in Jesus' name. And so it took us about, I'd say about 6 hours later, we had been at the park about an hour and a half, because it took us quite a while to drive down there, and then we shopped, and I just started to feel really unsettled on the inside. I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I just knew something was not right. And fear started coming on me to not call Pastor, because I knew he heard from the Lord, and I knew he would, you know, tell me what to do. And all I could think of was just going to the hospital. And I told my husband, I said, after we'd been at the park, amusement park, for about an hour and a half, I said, you're going to have to take me to the hospital. And before we go into the hospital, because there was a really good emergency room, you know, that was well known for treating people accurately. And it was like 15 minutes away. And I told him, I said, you know, you're just going to have to take me to the emergency room. And I said, but can you call, you know, our pastor before you do? And he said, yeah, because he couldn't understand what I said. Half of my mouth wasn't working. And at this time, it had not only, you know, took over half of my face, it was starting to spread over to three-fourths of my face. At one point in time, like three-fourths of my mouth would not work because, and you know, the paralyzation was spreading over. So,
what is going on through your mind? I couldn't imagine me not having half of my face or three-fourths of my face not working.
Well,
are
I was
you
out
scared
in public,
at this
one.
Point?
I was out in public.
So you're looking
kind of,
you know, you're looking kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was looking real crazy. And like I said, my eye wasn't blinking. So that's a big notice, you know, right there, when somebody's eyes not blinking. My mouth's not moving. I can talk. You can barely understand what I'm saying, but one side of my mouth's not moving. My tongue is still tingling at this point, which I ended up losing three-fourths of my taste in my tongue. I couldn't taste anything, and that's part of Bell's palsy.
Could you close your mouth all the way?
I could. I couldn't smile on one side of my face. My eye would not close. I had to wear a patch, which we laughed about it. You know, you had to laugh or cry. So we laughed about me having to wear the patch at nighttime, you know, made the pirate jokes and stuff, you know. But it was really serious because I would have damaged my eye permanently because, you know, it wasn't getting any moisture, any lubrication to it.
Right.
So I had to have, like, an eye lubricant and a patch and stuff like that at nighttime. Once I went to the emergency room,
you
and they told me what.
Could you see out of that right eye?
Yeah, I could see, but, you know, your eye blinking is related to your muscles and your nerves, so it wouldn't blink. I could still see, my eyeball could still move, but I just couldn't blink my eye because of the muscles and nerves. We're just completely, that side of my face was just completely dead. It was not functioning at all.
And by this time, do you know it's Bell palsy disease?
No. Mm-mm. No.
No.
Okay. I did
That's
not.
You're about to go to the. You ended up going to the hospital, right?
Yeah, I did have symptoms similar to stroke, but stroke and Bell's palsy are really similar in symptoms. I mean, they have little differences, but you know, I didn't know. I just knew it wasn't working, and I was unsettled, so I knew that, you know, something wasn't right. And so I went on to the hospital, and we called Pastor in the parking lot. And, you know, my husband called Pastor, and I told him before we went in, I said, if Pastor tells me not to go in, I'm not going in. And you just have to know that when I say that, you know, I know Pastor wasn't going to tell me wrong. I know he wasn't going to tell me something that would hurt me because he hears from the Lord. And so he told my husband, he said, tell her to go in, you know, go see the doctor. He didn't know where we were at. He didn't know what was going on. All he knew is I called him with pain the night before, and my face wasn't exactly working right. And so he called, you know, he told him, he said, tell her to go in and see a doctor. And that she has an infection, and to make sure to get a name for it so we know what to pray for. And so I went out, you know, after my husband told me that, I said, okay, and I went on in. And I think I was there for like 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours, because they had to run like scans on me to make sure I didn't have a stroke, because it is similar to stroke symptoms. And, you know, legally they can't send you out of there even thinking you've had any kind of similar stroke symptoms without getting, you know, sued or,
right.
You know, they have stuff they have to take care of. So
yeah.
I went in and they examined me and they told me that, you know, I had, it looked like Bell's palsy. They still had to do a scan to make sure, but they were pretty much sure I had Bell's palsy because of the symptoms and the difference between that and a stroke. And so I had called my husband in there and I sent him back to the park. I said, you know, you go on. I'm not, you know, there's no sense in y'all staying here and just sitting in a ER when you have, you know, you can go back to the park with the kids. So he took the kids back to the park, and they finished up, and, you know, that was it. They told me I had Bell's palsy.
Yeah, so, at this time, have you heard of Bell's palsy disease before? Because I've never even heard of it before.
I did not remember, but I had. I had seen it before. I knew of it, but I didn't remember because my mom and my dad both had it when I was a child.
Mm.
But I did not remember until after I got back home a few days, because I had talked to my mom and she said, you don't remember when I had that? And I said, no. And then I talked to my sister and she said, do you not remember Dad had that? And I said, no. So I had seen it before, but I just didn't remember because it was when I was a young child, you know. And
how
it's not anything
you,
major medically
you,
where you have to.
How long were
I don't
you at
remember.
The hospital?
How long was I at the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Probably about, at least 5 hours, between 5 and 7 hours, because, you know, it's an ER. It's a real busy, the ER's in a real big city, so it's real busy, and they had to do the scan and the evaluation and stuff, so it was between 5 and 7 hours.
And what's going on in your mind after you find out what they... that you have Bell's palsy?
I've never been able to rest in a hospital because I was just uncomfortable. And so this was the first time I was able to rest in a hospital. And it was because during this time, in my mind, all I heard was, if I hadn't have been at the church that I'd been at, you know, that the Lord had sent us to in 2012. If I hadn't have been down there, hearing that Jesus was a healer, knowing he was a healer, and seeing people be healed, then I would have been in trouble. And that's what I heard. I would have been in trouble. So I know the outcome would have been bad if it wouldn't have been for me being down there and the Lord, you know, showing me these things. And that I was just thankful that that the Lord had sent me down there. So I could see
so
the
God
truth.
Is, you have peace at this moment, and you're just thankful at this moment that you're pretty sure, you know, that there's light at the end of the tunnel. You got hope that Jesus can heal you.
Yeah, and awesome. I had talked to my husband last night, so I wouldn't say anything that wasn't accurate. We had went to church 11 years prior to coming to this church that the Lord had sent us to in 2012. And where we had seen people be healed and stuff. And there was not one time we saw anybody get healed in 11 years of going to different churches. Not one time.
So before you came to a Jesus is Answer church, you haven't seen one person get healed before?
No, not in 11 years. We started going to church 11 years prior to, and we were faithful. I mean, we went, you know, we went regularly. We had went to several different churches due to different reasons, but we had never seen one person get healed.
And that's why it's just life or death. It could be life or death where you go to church at. How do you even get the faith to know that God can heal you if nobody's teaching you that He can? One, and if you've never seen anybody ever get healed. You just won't have any faith that you can be healed.
No, and you know, the Lord took me back to, you know, if I would have been in that situation, and that was what I was hearing, you know, if I would have been in that situation prior to 2012, Him sending us there to the church, then I would have been dependent on medical science to heal me, you know, to do something for me. And there's no cure for Bell's palsy. It either heals on its own or it doesn't. There's nothing they can do for you. Some people live with that for the rest of their life.
There's no cure for Bell's palsy.
There's no cure. It's an infection on the outer nerves of the brain that causes it. It affects like the seventh cranial part of your brain, which controls your nerves and your, you know, muscles and stuff on that side of the face. And it's like some kind of infection, like a cold. It's not anything, you know, it's like a virus. It's nothing you can treat. And that when that virus gets in the nerve endings on your, you know, on the outer nerves of your brain, it messes with that part of your brain and it causes your face to go paralyzed. And there's nothing they can do for it. When they released me, they sent me home with steroids to reduce the swelling and an antiviral medication. And it's like trying to treat a cold. You're treating the symptoms. You're not treating the actual cause. There's no treatment for that. And they tell you that, you know, the majority of the time that people gets over it. But there's still, when I went back for a checkup after, you know, they recommend that you go to a checkup with your doctor to make sure they don't need to run any further testing or anything. So I went back to my regular physician, and he had had it when he was 18 years old. He's well into his 50s, I'm pretty sure. I don't know his exact age, but I'm confident in saying he's well into his 50s. His eye still does not close all the way. My
wow.
dad's
And he's had it since he was 15.
18. He had it when he was 18.
18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a doctor.
And so, he's a doctor.
And
what they
still
tell you is... No, his eye still will not close. And my dad's hearing is messed up on one side of his ear because of Bell's palsy.
And he's had it for how long?
Since I was a child, probably at least 20-plus years. You know, most of the symptoms, they say, will leave. But the majority of people, something that, you know, that affects is still messed up. It don't function correctly. And it usually takes about 2 months for your functionings to come back, if they ever come back at all. So there's no medical help for it. You just sit and wait and see if it comes back, and that's it.
So you guys go to the theme park, and you just feel like something's wrong. You call your pastor, and then you end up going to the emergency room. They tell you there that you have Bell palsy disease, and you're at the hospital, and you just feel peace, and you're thankful that you feel equipped to handle this because of where you've attended church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because of me being able to see the people being healed and knowing, you know, and hearing on a regular basis that Jesus is a healer. That's what really, you know, ingrained it in me, that not to be worried. There was nothing to worry about.
That's just so important. I mean, if you're not, faith comes by hearing. And to really receive your healing, it's going to take a measure of your faith. And if you're not hearing that Jesus heals today, and if you're not seeing that Jesus still heals today, that's not only hearing it and seeing it, but knowing that it's the will of God for us to be healed and made whole. I mean, He bore our sicknesses for us. You know, so he wants us to be healed more than we want to be. And if you're not hearing that, then how would you have faith to be healed if something comes on you like this? This is a real attack from the enemy that was meant to really destroy your face. I mean, if you're seeing in the mirror that half of your face is not working, when you would look at your face, what would be going through your mind at that time? Let's talk about after you realize. Let's talk about as you have left the hospital, you're going home, and I guess coming up on Sunday morning. I guess it's a Saturday, and you're kind of dealing with this thing. And what was going on through your mind as you would look at your face?
I've always, you know, Jesus has brought me tremendously far as wanting to be around people, and I just had a lot of things happen in my life where it just shied me away from people. So obviously I didn't prefer to be stared at, you know, and when you don't have half your face working, it's not an ideal situation for somebody that does not like to, you know, have attention to call to themselves. And so, I knew, you know, going into church that next day that the majority, that the more than likely, people were going to look at me and see what was wrong. And I thought, you know, to myself, okay, we had called Pastor back and told him what was wrong, and he, I knew he would call for me to be prayed for on Sunday, so I knew I was going to church. I mean, I don't regularly miss church, but I knew for sure I was going that day. And I noticed really quick on Saturday night, we got home Friday night, you know, and we proceeded into Saturday night, and I can't say particularly that I was bothered by the way it looked, but I wasn't, I didn't prefer it either. You know, I just didn't want people, I just didn't want attention called to me as what the big thing was. I just wanted to go in and get prayer and then, you know, be healed, and that was it. So that night, I was getting ready, you know, getting things prepared to come to church the next day. And the devil literally showed me a picture of people in a single file line lined up at our church asking me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong? You know, just over and over again. And tears just started rolling down my face because he knew I didn't like, you know, I didn't want attention. I didn't want it to be called attention to.
Right.
And I just started crying because I knew, you know, it was almost like a torment was trying to come on me not to go, of what was going to happen if I went. You know, the people's attention was going to be on me. And I just cried. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because there's no way I'm not going, because I knew that's where my healing was. And so I cried, and less than 5 minutes later, the Lord showed me a picture of this, of the pastor having a conversation with this lady. Now, this lady had, and this is what I'm telling you about, we've seen people be healed. This lady had, she had a squash or some kind of something blow up on her, and it burnt her skin. And she was healed from that. She has no scars or anything still to this day. And, but anyways, when she had come in with those scars on her, it was all over her face, on her arm, on her neck. And he went over and he told her, he said, thanks for coming to church today and letting us love on you. And that's what I heard. That's the picture I seen. Jesus gave me a literal picture of pastor talking to this lady and telling her, you know, thanks for coming to church and letting us love on you today. And all the thoughts just completely stopped. I did not get attacked anymore until that next, you know, for that next day for me to go to church. And
what actually happened at church the next day?
I went in, and there was only one person that said anything to me. And this lady saying something to me did not bother me. She actually, you know, I didn't want to smile because half of my face would not smile. So I didn't want to smile during service because, you know, I thought if I just sit here and don't smile and don't look at nobody and just kind of keep off to myself, everything would be all right. And she did not, she made me smile. Her and her husband were sitting in front of us, and they made me smile for the first time during that service. So, you know, I know it was Holy Ghost, but and, you know, we even went around and hugged people, and nobody said anything to me at all. Nobody said one word. And the lady actually told me, she said, we're fixing to sit here. When the lady that said something to me, she said, we're fixing to sit here and watch Jesus straighten this all the way up. And that's what she said to me.
Amen.
And so anyways, Pastor, I was sitting there, and I just started getting nervous because, you know, at this time the enemy was telling me that you've done something wrong. You've done something wrong. Like, if you're sick, you've done something wrong. And so, you know, and when we had come to the church, I had to pray, you know, to be able to be corrected, to be all right with being corrected, because I knew that, you know, Jesus don't, he can't change you if he can't correct you. And I couldn't be offended at being corrected. So I thought when I got up there, he was going to tell me I did something wrong. And so, you know, I was going to have to be corrected if I did something wrong. So, man, my hands and my feet and everything on me just started sweating because I was just getting so nervous about being going up there and being prayed for. And when I went up there, you know, he didn't tell me that I did anything wrong. And at this time, too, when I was sitting in my seat, the devil was telling me, are you really that bad? Do you really need to go be prayed for? And now looking back, I'm thinking, yeah, my face wasn't working. What are you doing? Is it really that bad? Like, yeah, I need to be prayed for. So, I mean, and that's the thing that the devil does to a lot of people is he tells them, you know, do you really need to be? Because he knew when I got up there that I would get my healing that day. And so he did everything he could to try to stop me from going up there. But Jesus knocked everything he did out. You know, he had a word for me, or he had, you know, me push through and just go and get prayed for. So I went up there and got prayed for, and I was on the floor after Pastor had prayed for me. And Jesus told me, he said, whenever people ask you, what happened to you? You know, what's wrong with you? You don't tell them you have Bell's palsy. You tell them you had Bell's palsy, because I can't go up there and be prayed for. And this is what Jesus was showing me. I can't go up there and be prayed for and still confessing that I have what I was healed of. It's contradiction.
Right.
And so, and he knew that, you know, my symptoms wouldn't leave immediately, that I would have to fight with his words. And so anyways, I got prayed for that day, and my face was still not working. I didn't have pain that whole week. So I'll fast forward to the next week. And, you know, my pastor gave me a list of instructions to do. He told me to 30 minutes of a morning, 30 minutes of a night, list everything that the doctors told me, to make a list of everything the doctors told me that was wrong, which was a list of, like, you know, over a dozen things. And to, you know, to say by his stripes these things were healed and to thank him that I was healed. And so I did. I did it 30 minutes of a morning, 30 minutes of a night. And the first week went by. I had no pain, but my face still wasn't working. The second week went by.
Is it pain all the time with Bell palsy, or did you feel pain most of the time, or is it just your face?
The pain had left for that week, but I was on medication, so I don't know if it was the medication taking the pain away. You know, it's like steroids to reduce the swelling and the antiviral medication.
Right.
So I don't know if it was the medication that was taking the pain away.
But you're supposed to have pain along with your muscles not working.
Yeah, it was like I had whenever I did have pain, it was like I had a really severe earache, a really severe toothache, and a really severe neck ache, like almost a pair of pliers were gripping on the back of my neck. That's what it felt like. All three at once. Anytime I had pain, that was what the pain felt like. And so I went through that first week, and I didn't have any pain. But like I said, my face still wasn't working at all. The second week, you know, coming into that next Sunday after I'd got prayed for, Pastor called me back up again. And he said, Jesus told me to tell you that you're as healed as you're going to get. That it doesn't matter what it looks or feels like, you're still a healed woman in a healed body. And you tell your body that every day. And so he prayed for me again. You know, he said, Jesus, oh, you know, we already asked. We're not asking again. And he just reminded him that we're just telling him again that, hey, you know, we have already prayed for you to be healed. And so that day I left the church, and the next morning, my face, that was actually the last day I was on the medication. And I don't know if this had anything to do with it or not, but my face started swelling up really, really rapidly. And the pain started coming back really rapidly. The pain, you know, the earache, the toothache, it felt like somebody just hit me in the head with a hammer all down the side of my head, all down my neck, and all that pain on top of that. And so in my mind at this time, all I kept hearing was, it doesn't matter what it looks or feels like, you're a healed woman in a healed body. I heard that over and over again, and every time I heard it, I would say it, and my faith still wasn't working, you know, and it didn't matter to me because I wasn't walking by what it looked or felt like. For the first time, yeah, in my whole life, I wasn't walking by, and, you know, that's where the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight, and the way the Lord showed me to break that down was, for we walk by faith, which is what Jesus taught, said, and did. We don't walk by the way, you know, sight, by the way things look or feel. And that's what you have to do to get his results, is you have to walk by what he taught, said, and did, and not by the way things look and feel, no matter how long they go on, no matter how bad it gets. You can't let that stop you from doing what he says or saying what he says. And so my face started swelling up, you know, and all that stuff. And I kept saying that for a day and a half. It doesn't matter what it looks or feels like. I'm a healed woman and healed body. And that pain left my face, and that swelling left my face a day and a half later. I just kept saying it and saying it and saying it. But it lifted up off my head and neck and went onto my arm. And when that happened, I was like, Lord, this is not Bell's palsy symptoms. What is going on? Because those were stroke symptoms. Like, your arm's not supposed to be swelling up or hurting when you have Bell's palsy. That has nothing to do with Bell's palsy. And like I said, the devil kept telling me, it's stroke symptoms. But I never voiced that during this time. I heard it in my mind. I never voiced it. And normally I would tell my husband, you know, I'm worried, something's wrong, you know. But I didn't. I just kept quiet. So I kept telling, you know, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? These are not Bell's palsy symptoms. And he told me, he said, a day and a half later, I was sitting here, and I wasn't thinking about it, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention to my arm during this particular hour. And I said, out of my mouth, it was just the straight Holy Ghost that took over my mouth, because there was no thought in my mind to do this at all, and it just came on me all of a sudden. Out of my mouth came, if this pain and swelling does not leave my arm within 45 minutes, then I'm going to worship Jesus for the rest of the day. And in the middle of me saying that, I had a flash of me worshiping Jesus for the rest of the day. And I could do it because my kids and my husband were here that day. And the next thing I remember was 45 minutes later, I looked down and my arm was a normal color. The swelling had all went down and there was no pain. And after that, I didn't have any pain. My pain left permanently.
Devils and demons do not want you to worship the Lord the rest of the day. They don't like worship. Because when you worship the Lord, Jesus comes and he inhabits the praises of his people. So them devils did not want you to bring Jesus down with worship, did they?
So that was the end of my pain, period. It did not come back after that. But my face still was not working. And I remember it had started to, like when I would do my 30 minutes of a morning, 30 minutes of a night, my face would start tingling on the right side. And there was a point when my face started to move just a little bit, just barely. You know, when I smiled, the one side would just barely come up, and my eye had started just a little bit fluttering with the other one. You know, like fluttering when it would blink. But it wasn't working by any means. There was no regular function into my face. And so we had prayed. There was several people getting attacked at our church during that time. And a pastor had come in on a Sunday morning. This was the next week. He had come in on a Sunday morning, and he said, you know, we're going to pray it through in the spirit. Like, if there's something we're not saying or not doing, we're praying it through today. And the Lord's going to tell us. And so everybody in the church prayed in the spirit for like 30 or 45 minutes that day. And so this was, you know, Sunday. And the Thursday we came in, the pastor had told me, he had said, you know, during this time, he was pretty bold because the devil was attacking people, and he had to give us the word to tell us how to get out of it. So he was quoting healing stories after healing stories after healing stories, just this whole service. Mm-hmm. And at one point in time during the service, I mean, he was really bold this night. He was really extremely bold, which he's been bold before, but I've never seen him be this bold towards me specifically.
He was so jacked up right here.
Yeah. And so
I remember that.
He said, he told me I should have already ran at one point in time during the service, and I didn't feel on the inside to run, so I didn't run, you know. But when he told me to run, I was obedient, and I did what he said because, you know, I knew, you know, he was telling me for a reason. And he said, you have to speak. Devil, you can't do me like this no more in Jesus' name. Now, you stop it, stop it, stop it in Jesus' name. And he was, I don't like to say screaming because screaming, I don't want it to sound negative, but he was just, he was loud about it. He wasn't, you know, timid. He was bold about it. And so I wrote it down, you know, to go home and say. And he also, probably 20 minutes later, he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, say it with me. And everybody said it. And then all of a sudden he just turns and he said, you're not telling that disease it can't stay in your body. You go home tonight and tell it to get out forever, and that you curse it in Jesus' name and watch what happens. And so
what did you do?
I was fucking shocked for a few minutes because, you know, he was really bold, and it was like, you know, and the first thing that came to my mind was, Lord, I was doing everything you told me to do, because I was doing everything to a T that I even knew to do. And I think I had a clean that night at church. So I stayed over for about an hour, and then, of course, I had kids to get in the bed, so I came home and got the kids in the bed. And I could not remember, because I was in shock a little bit about, you know, what pastor had told me and stuff. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, show me that I wasn't doing right, you know. And he showed me within 30 minutes after the service ended. And pastor told me that I wasn't telling the disease it couldn't stay in my body. You know, I was calling my body healed. I was doing all this, but I wasn't telling the disease it could not stay in my body. And whenever that happened, I came home. I listened to the whole service to write down what he told me to say. And he had told me to go home tonight. He didn't say wait till tomorrow or do it the next week. He said go home tonight and tell it to get out forever. So I listened to the whole service. And I wrote down what he told me to say, and I said it. And I said, Jesus, I did what you told me to do, and I know what you showed me where I was missing it at, and I'm doing it now. And I did it, and the next morning I woke up, and every single symptom was gone. I could move my face. My tongue was tasting. My ear was, you know, hearing right. My eye was blinking completely, closing completely. I mean, everything was just restored back to completely normal.
And you that night you had to tell the disease that it couldn't stay in your body.
Mhm. And that's what he told me. He said I would have to tell the devil, you can't do me like this no more in Jesus' name. Now you stop it. Stop it. Stop it in Jesus' name. And he told me that, you know, and then he came back and told me a second thing. He said, you have to go home and tell. He said, you haven't been telling that disease it can't stay in your body. He said, you go home tonight and tell it, you curse it, and it has to get out, and get out tonight forever. And I told it has to get out tonight forever.
That's one thing I saw that's a big problem with people trying to receive their healing is that Jesus specifically told us to speak to the mountain in Mark 11:23. So you got to speak to the mountain. And a lot of times people are not directing their words straight towards the mountain, straight towards the disease, the devil. And we have authority. The way you use that authority is you direct it straight towards the issue and the problem. And I've saw that when you do it that way, like Jesus told us to, then that's when you'll see the results. Now tell me this real quick, Misty. What did it feel like when you could feel your whole face again? How did that feel?
I had got up for so long, and every morning I would look at my face because I was expecting it to change. And I would tell it, I'm expecting you to change. You have to change. And so that morning when I got up, you know, I went off of what Jesus told Pastor. And I went to bed, and, you know, no thoughts even came across my mind. Well, what if this don't work? Or, you know, all the things the devil goes through, nothing came across my mind. I said what Pastor told me to say. And really, it wasn't Pastor, it was Jesus. Because Pastor, he could tell you everything he wants to tell you. If it's him, it's going to fail. If it's Jesus, it's going to work. So,
right.
You know, I really expected it to happen. So, I mean, it was kind of different to get up for 3 weeks and not see your face working, and then to get up that day and see your face working, but I expected it to happen. I knew, you know, that we had done prayed it through and that, you know, it had to work. There's no other option for it to work. So
we are completely out of time, so I'm going to try to make this quick so we don't go too far over. But tell me, have you had any symptoms, or has it tried to come back on you since you got healed or since you received the healing?
No, I haven't had any symptoms at all. And I tell my kids even, you know, because this is my faith. You know, that day that curse got broke off my family. So I even tell my kids, aren't you glad, you know, that you're never going to have to deal with Bell's palsy, because I don't think they ever will, because I was healed of that and the curse was broke off of my family. So I even tell them, you know, and they see me go through it. So they just rejoice in knowing that they're never going to have to go through it.
Can you, Misty, can you pray for anybody listening who might be dealing with a disease that the doctors can't cure? And can you just pray for them, and then we'll leave the show?
Yes. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, that through this show, through any of your servants, Lord, that you would show people that you're still the healer, that it's not you telling people that you can't heal, Lord. You are able to take care of and completely eliminate anything that anybody is going through. And Jesus, you said if we ask you anything in your will, purpose, and plan, that you will do it. Lord, it is your will that people be healed. It is your will.
Yes.
You already paid the price so people could be whole. With those stripes and with you hanging on the cross, redeeming us from the curse of the law. So, Lord, I just pray that people that needs to hear your healing messages, you would bring them to them and show them that you're real through your actions, Lord, not just through other people's words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Missy. It's a powerful testimony on how great and awesome our God is and that he still heals today. And before I go, I wanted to say one thing that you mentioned, because you was, and I know the devil picks at a lot of people's minds about this, but when you have a symptom or something going wrong in your body, or let's just say you have a disease, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Okay, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. He's the devil. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when you have something going wrong with you, don't always run to, I'm doing something wrong. Know who the enemy is and know that Jesus is the healer and he loves you. Jesus didn't heal you because you're perfect, Misty. He healed you because you exercised faith in who he is, and you exercised your faith in his word. And that disease had to leave.
Yeah, and, you know, he showed me through this, too, that, you know, I didn't get healed just because I'm somebody super special or, you know, I was one in a million or one in a thousand, you know, one every now and then, like people try to play it off to be. But like you said, I exercised faith, and he did that honoring what I asked him to and bringing him his words back and being obedient to what he told me to do. So it's available for anybody. It's not just for, you know, certain special, you know, like people try to play it off to be. So
praise God.
It's for everybody.
Well, it is for everybody. And Jesus is for everybody. Healing is for everybody. Prosperity, love, peace, joy. You can have it all through Jesus and his words. Just get to know him. Call on the name of the Lord. Get saved. Start a relationship with Jesus. And through that relationship with Jesus, you will get to know who the Father really is. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. Be sure if you get a chance to share this on Facebook and Twitter. Share with anybody that you know who might be going through some kind of disease that the doctors can't cure, and tune them into the show, and we'll try to deal with healing all week long. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Eric. Thank you, Misty, once again for sharing your testimony. God bless you, and we're out.